Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork, One Another. The date today is the 4th of September 2009.
It's the 5th.
It's the 5th now, it is. We're just past midnight. It's the 5th of September 2009, thank you. And the time is 1:15 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
My name's Fiona Margaret Watt, I'm 48 and I'm from Edinburgh in Scotland.
And how are you today?
I'm feeling good, I'm a little bit tired but I'm sure I'll get over that.
And can I ask first of all, what was it that motivated you to put yourself forward to be part of One Another?
Well, I'm a great fan of Anthony Gormley's work. I've visited lots of his sculptures, you know, the Angel of the North and the Iron Men, and the, as they're called in Liverpool, I can't remember the exact title. And when I read about this opportunity in the paper, I just knew I wanted to be part of it, and put my name in the draw. My motivation was to take this opportunity to do something that would be totally out with a common everyday experience. It's like an opportunity to burst out of yourself and do something totally different, something you've never done before and will never do again, and that was just an opportunity I couldn't pass.
And when you found out that you had got a place on the plinth, how did you decide to spend your hour on it?
Well, I did spend quite a lot of time thinking about what I wanted to do, but it is restricted in a way because you have to take everything with you, and so. But I wanted to do something that was going to be very visual, and also something to do with music and Scottish culture. So my contribution to this project is trying to encapsulate all these things. It's an introduction to Scottish culture through music and language.
Is that what your hour on the plinth is going to be?
Yes, I'm going to play some Scottish songs by Scottish bands. I want to dispel this kind of image that Scottish music is just about, you know, Jimmy Shand and accordion players and bagpipes. We have lots of a thriving music scene in Scotland, even though we only have three major cities. And at the same time, I wanted to introduce people to a few of my favourite Scottish words, because I think we have a really expressive language that people rarely understand outside of Scotland, and I thought it might be fun to do something with that.
And your outfit for the occasion?
Tonight I'm wearing a very fetching Stuart mini kilt with black and red stripy leggings. And I've also cut down a pair of stripy socks that are black and red, and I've got those on my arms. I'm wearing a waistcoat and a big hairy hat. It looks a bit like a busby or something. But and my Dr. Martin shoes.
And is this kind of outfit something you would normally wear?
Yes, I have worn this at Hogmanay in Scotland several times. But I wouldn't normally wear it during the day. It's a going out outfit.
And how are you feeling about going up there now that you're actually here?
I feel great, actually. I'm really looking forward to it. I feel quite relaxed. I'm still a bit worried about the height thing, because at home I have a problem cleaning the windows because I don't like looking down into the street. But I'm sure it'll be fine once I get up there. And, you know, there's always the net.
What are the words that you've said? There are a few words that you think are really sort of rich.
All right, well, I've picked some Scottish words. I suppose you would say they are Scots words because Scottish is not a language, and some people would argue that Scots is indeed a language and not a dialect of English, but you know, the jury's still out on that. One of the words that I've got tonight, this morning actually, to show people is like footer, and that means to fidget. And there's another one, burrow, which is to spin around. And I have a those two well loved Scottish words, drich and drukit, which mean wet and wetter, because in Scotland we have a lot of rain. And with climate change, that's probably just going to get more drich, we're going to get more drukit. So if you're listening to this 100 years from now and it's really wet, well, we were right.
Is being Scottish a big part of who you are, do you think?
Yes. Since devolution in 1997, I feel that my feelings of Scottish nationalism and national pride have become sharpened. I have never been comfortable about being British. I have always felt that I was Scottish and that I didn't particularly want to be a part of Britain. And that's no detriment to any other of the devolved nations like Wales and or England or Northern Ireland. They're separate countries in their own right, and but you know, I'm proud to be Scottish and would want to be seen that way. If I could have a Scottish passport, that would be brilliant.
You said you're from Edinburgh. Is that where you're from originally?
No, I'm from Dunfermline in Fife, and I've also lived in St Andrews. My parents at the moment live in the Borders and in Kinross.
And when did you move to Edinburgh?
I moved to Edinburgh in 1981 when I graduated from Stirling University.
And what did you study there?
Earth and Environmental Sciences.
And would you like to say a little bit about that?
About being at university?
Yeah.
Stirling University is a campus university in the Central Belt in Scotland. It's set in a beautiful leafy green park with an artificial loch in the middle of it. So it's like going, well, for me, it felt like going to a holiday camp for 4 years. It was just amazing. It was built in 1968, so when I went in 1978, it was still spanking brand new and everything was pristine, and it was a very exciting time to go. That was when punk was just kicking off, so we had loads of brilliant bands came with the Rock Against Racism tour, which surprisingly has just kicked off again in 2009, which is amazing. I had a great time there. I never want to graduate. If I could have been a student for the rest of my life, that would have been great. Unfortunately, I had to get a job.
And what area do you work in now?
I work for the Scottish Government in environmental protection, and my particular area is the protection of the water environment. So I am assisting in the implementation of the Water Framework Directive in Scotland, which is an EU directive concerning all lochs, rivers, estuaries and seas in Scotland and keeping them clean and healthy for people to enjoy.
And how do you like your job?
I love my job, it's brilliant. I must admit, when I was younger, if somebody had said that I would have spent 22 years as a civil servant, I would have laughed. But what people don't realise about civil service is it's not like a private company, because you're working in the public sector. It's a big enough organisation to take a few kind of eccentric people, and that I think that's kind of where I slot in, because I'm not really like the majority of people that work there, but it needs a few kind of odds and ends to fill the gap sometimes, and that works really well, I think. So, yeah, I love it. It's great.
And can I ask you to say a little bit about what the sort of health of the environment is at the moment in the area that you're sort of looking out for?
Well, at the moment, let's just say there is room for improvement. And hopefully we'll have all waters at good status by 2015. That is the aim.
Very good. And is there a lot of sort of, there's a lot of targets that you have to meet?
Yeah, but they're long-term targets. I think the longest target is 2027. I don't think I'm actually going to still be working there, hopefully not, because I think I'll be about 93 or something. So yes, it's very target driven, but you know, that's EU water directives for you.
Okay. And you mentioned just briefly before, you mentioned about the punk era,
mm-hmm.
and your love of music.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you to say a little about that, and about, are you a punk? Do you think of yourself as a
Well, when it was all kicking off, I was about 16, 17, so it's a really exciting time, because that's when the Sex Pistols, Clash, Buzzcocks, all these bands were kicking off, and it was a time when anybody could pick up a guitar and start playing in a band. All you needed was three chords and somebody to play the drums and you're away. And I was always really interested in music, because I come from a musical family. My father is a folk singer. He's recorded a couple of albums. My brother, he was also in a band. My granddad was in a string quartet. My uncle once was in a band who opened for the Rolling Stones. So there's people in my family who are into music. And when I was 28, I had the opportunity to sing in a band myself. So I did that for 5 years. We toured up and down the UK, came to London a few times, but we never made any money. But it was brilliant fun. It was really good fun. And now, at the moment, I'm working on a musical project with a friend of mine. We're trying to make music that sounds like After 8 Months. I don't know how it's really going, because we're only in our kitchen at the moment. And I also sing in a community choir at the moment, which is really the best fun. If people ever get the opportunity to sing, they should take it. And community choirs are great, because they take anybody. You don't need to audition. You can take part even if you're not think you can't sing. And there's people actually in the choir who don't actually sing at all. They're just there for the laugh. But we have such a good time, and we have a brilliant choir leader. She's very inspiring, and sometimes when I listen to us, you know, we've been taped, and I hear it back, and I just think, oh, I can't believe we made that sound. That's amazing. And it's not because we're all particularly good singers, because we're not, but it's just the combination of all the different voices. And some people are out of time or out of tune, but together it just pulls it along, you know. It's just an amazing experience, a very human experience to sing with other people. And it's very relaxing as well. It's like yoga for the brain.
Where do you sing?
I sing at the Forest Cafe in Edinburgh. It's a bit of sort of hippie hangout for, I don't know, people that are creative. And basically the choir is people from 20 to 60, and you just go along on a Tuesday night. Sometimes there's 6 people, sometimes there's 26 people. You just drop in and drop out as you feel like it.
Could you say a bit about the band that you were in for 5 years?
The band was called Vatican Shotgun Scare. I wrote all the songs. We had guitar, bass and drums. I think we wrote about over 80 songs. We played over 100 gigs over a 5 year period. But then our drummer left to go down to Birmingham to live with his partner, and after that we couldn't get another drummer that suited us, and it just kind of fizzled out. But I think that's the case for most bands. I mean, people say, oh, you know, it just finished, but a band is like an artistic project. It has a beginning, a middle and an end, and you don't have to keep going forever, you know. And it only worked with that group of people, and once that person left, it was never going to be that band again, and it just didn't work anymore, which was sad. But you know, I think it came to a natural end, which was good. All our stuff is available online, apparently. I didn't put it there. I haven't seen any royalties, so if anybody knows who put it there, I'd like to hear from them. But yeah, it was a good experience. Sometimes it was quite tiring, because I was working at the same time. You have to develop quite a hard neck, really, because people would shout stuff at you on stage, occasionally throw things at you. And I've been spat on quite a lot. by some unsavoury audiences, but yeah.
What did you tend to sing about?
I don't know, they were just kind of abstract ideas sometimes, just ideas that I picked up out of magazines or newspapers, or not exactly political songs, or there were songs about people I knew, but in a very abstract way, or about things that I had going on in my life, but again in a very abstract way, because it sounds bizarre, but when you write about, when I wrote about personal stuff, I didn't want people to know it was personal to me, so I had to kind of disguise it so that people wouldn't realise what it was about. But I don't know, I can't remember, it was 20 years ago. So,
do you still feel the urge to write?
Yeah, I do. I at the moment I write for a community newspaper, and I still write poetry. Not as much as I used to, but sometimes it's difficult to have a creative life while trying to support yourself at the same time. Sometimes you just don't have the time or the energy. So this is why it's great to come along here this morning and do something really creative, really exciting, and to be part of a work by Anthony Gormley, that's just mind-blowing, really. On the train tonight when I was coming up down from Edinburgh past the Angel of the North, I thought, yes. Bloody love it.
How would you describe yourself?
I'm quite an optimist, like looking on the bright side of life. I'm quite a cheerful person. I decided a long time ago that to be negative was just a waste of time. And I try and avoid negative people. I like to have fun. I don't like to act my age. I think that age is just a number, and too many people get dragged down about being over 30 or being over 40. I mean, I'm pushing 50, and like, you know, I don't feel much different to when I was about 19 or 20, and you know, I still would like to think that I'm the sort of person who could take a risk and not feel that I was too old to do that. Because a lot of people, I think, they just think once they get to a certain age, they have to stop doing things. And that really shouldn't be the case, because you can be creative. You know, like Picasso was creative right up into his 80s. Lots of artists are. Lots of musicians are. So people shouldn't stop doing things just because they feel they're getting on a bit.
Have you taken part in anything similar to this?
Not in terms of being a human statue, but I have recently taken part in Trilogy by Nick Green, which is a piece of dance and physical theatre. It's an exploration into contemporary feminism, and the piece asked for a volunteer cast of local women to take part in a dance, but you had to do it naked, and that was a challenge, but it was one that I really enjoyed doing. And when I went along for the initial sessions, I really didn't think that I was going to actually do it, so when I did do it, it was a it felt fantastic. I felt like I'd been fired out of a cannon, and it was like the rest of my life was just beginning. It was just the most amazing experience. It felt like a very human experience, to be naked on stage with all these other people. And it certainly caused a lot of debate in my workplace, which is great, because now a lot of the men who I work with have all been talking about feminism, which they never used to talk about, and some of them have even been looking at things in the Guardian, which they never used to read. So it's all positive.
Have you got any hopes or fears or expectations about standing on the fourth plinth tonight?
My only fear is that I might fall off, but I've been assured that that won't happen, so I can dismiss that. What are my hopes? I hope that I can communicate the message that I brought along tonight. I hope I can put it out there and that people will understand it. Whether they will or not, I don't know. Because really, with any sort of artistic project, it's always in your head and you don't know how it's going to appear to other people until you actually put it out there. And sometimes, as I've experienced with the naked dancing thing, people can totally misinterpret it and think it means something totally different. So it'll be interesting to see if it is perceived in the way that I expect it to be. I hope so. I'm really looking forward to having some fun with it because, when I first realised that I had a space in this for this project, I did consider doing something very serious and making a political stance or a political statement because there's lots of issues that I'm, concerned about, the environment and women's issues and people's, human rights and all the rest of it. But then I thought, from the blurb, it seemed like the artist wanted people just to be themselves. And I thought, well, if I did that, that's more about other people. It's not necessarily about me. And so I thought, I can save all that kind of political stuff for other parts of my life, but this would probably just be about me. And it was, at this time in the morning, I don't know if there's going to be people out there ready to receive a big political message, probably not. So I wanted to do something that would be engaging, visual, fun, and... just fun to do.
And is there anything else have you got that you'd like to say? Any closing words or anything?
I'm really glad to have this opportunity. I think it'll be amazing. I think it'll be something that I'll look back on and think, oh, that was just an amazing thing to do. Or it might be something that I wake up in the middle of the night screaming, thinking, oh, I'm going to fall off the plinth. But no, I think it will be amazing, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.